Hey guys, it's Paige Renee, and we want to watch the match with you this weekend. So join us for our live podcast event this Sunday. That's May 24th at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Sia.live. Tickets are $5.99 with a portion of proceeds donated to charity. We'll post a link and more info on our Instagram page, so be sure to check that out.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
I am about to raise some hell on this episode of Playing Around with Paige Renee. We have Josh and producer Tori. Pushcart gate. I can't even talk. I'm so upset right now. So I have been getting so many DMs from very angry men about the fact that I called them a bitch for using a pushcart. Like, angry DMs. Like, this guy sent me a DM and he was like, he said, like, how dare you call me a bitch? Like, I only have one good leg and it's better than playing on nothing, but I guess it takes one to know one. And then he called me a bitch. And oh, and he's like, I'm never going to listen to anything you say anymore. I unfollowed you. So he's not even going to listen to this because he doesn't want to listen to anything I have to say anymore. But I just thought it was the funniest thing because the only guys who were getting upset about me calling them a bitch were the bitches who use push carts. So, and here's the thing. I know that push carts are actually the good thing to do. Like, if you have back issues or if you use a push cart, you're the smart person for using a push cart. I'm the stupid one here for using absolutely no logic. And you're mad at me for calling you a bitch? Oh. Like, that's what makes you a bitch, is being that upset about a push cart. Like, if you're going to use a push cart, you own it. You're like, hey, this is my push cart. I'm going to play awesome because you know what's going to look really bad is when you beat me using a push cart. You're not going to be the bitch anymore. But if you don't own up to it, you're a bitch. It just, I am so heated about it because it's so funny how guys are so offended by a woman calling them a bitch, but they have no problem using that term towards women. And they'll easily throw out the terms like, you're a slut, you're a whore, you're a bitch. But as soon as you call a guy a bitch, it's like the world's ending. Like, that is 100%. Such a shot to the male ego. And like I said, if you own up to using a pushcart, that is the sexiest thing I have ever seen. You are not a bitch anymore. But I think it's because they're slightly insecure about using a pushcart. And so for me to call them out, they're like, okay, am I? Like, they're questioning it. They're going back and forth. They just don't know. And so they're like, am I a bitch? Am I not a bitch? Am I a bitch if I use it? I am so mad about it.
Oh my God. PG, I swear to God, I give you 100% on that rant. I'm serious. And I am the receiver of the bitch. Like, I was the first person you called that. And I was like, and by the way, I was kind of like, oh, that was like a little knife in the side. I'm like, I do not like that word at me. But you're so right. You're so right. So it's so funny. I now think that a pushcart company should roll out the new bitch 2.0 it says it on the pushcart.
Well, and I didn't realize how strong they call themselves the pushcart mafia. Like, they roll deep. Literally. And figuratively, like, they're rolling down the golf courses, like, in their push cart. They have each other's backs. And so I just got roasted by the push cart mafia. So I think we need to make shirts that say push cart mafia. And then the other one is a person carrying their bag and it said, mama didn't raise no bitch. I think that would be the best thing ever.
Now, we do have two people from the pushcart mafia write into us. And so we're going to get Paige's perspective on these because they're kind of valid and they're kind of where Josh was saying that they're pretty practical. So from Eddie Burke 4, so I'm 27 and I use a pushcart. But hear me out. I like to drink a lot of beers when I play. So I'm going to carry my bag with 12 beers inside. With a pushcart, I can carry a lot of beers. Is that okay?
Yes, use a push cart. I never said don't use a push cart. Whatever I have said is not logical. My opinions don't make sense. I am team pushcart, but I will never use one. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. So if you're going to carry all that beer in, it doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you less of a man if you don't own up to the fact that you're using a pushcart. And that's what's getting lost in all of this. And all these guys are getting so offended. So yeah, you have your pushcart. You have your 12 beers. You have your snacks. You have your little umbrella. Like, you do you. You're not a bitch if you own it. I make no sense. You're the smart person with a pushcart. I'm on your side. I get it.
Another one says, SHL Nicholson, about the push carts. If you take a cart and ride, how does that make you more of an athlete than if you walk and push the cart?
It doesn't make sense. Again. It doesn't make sense. What I said has no logic at all. I am sitting there in my car, not moving, and I'm calling you a bitch for using a push cart because you're getting extra exercise. Again, it doesn't make sense at all, but I'm still going to carry my bag. That is just my opinion, and I would have retracted on it if I didn't get so much hate from all of these people, but now that you guys are coming at me so hard, I said what I said, and there's nothing, it's never going to change. I'm always going to see a person with a push cart, and I'm going to call you a bitch. But if you own it, I don't care. If you have 12 beers, good for you. If I'm in a cart, yeah, I'm even more of a bitch than you are. Like, I don't understand why people got so upset about that. And I think it's just, again, it goes back to the fact that a girl called a guy a bitch. And that is what cuts so deep to them.
I agree. And I will tell you, there is, when you say that it makes no sense and it's illogical, it's not necessarily. Because like I said, I used to carry all the time. I still have my carry bag. I still carry every once in a while. You know, if I go on vacation or whatever, I'll carry. I would like to carry. It's just not smart anymore for me to carry. And I mean, when you carry on a golf course, you literally are so much more mobile than when you're pushing a golf cart. And I am so. There is a bit of truth combined with a bit of emasculation that is why you got smoked on social this week.
Well, and for me personally, I think it is easier to carry than to use a push cart. Like, when you're pushing a car uphill and the grass is a little bit wet, or you're going through the rough, that's harder, and you can't do a straight shot across the green. If you're carrying, you can just walk over, set your bag down, you're good to go. Again, I have just always been a carrier of the bag through and through, and there's nothing wrong with a push cart. If you want to play golf and that's the only way you can play golf, then go for it. Like, I am not telling you to just not play golf where, like, you are less of a person. But it's just so funny how every time I'll play with a guy, and this happens every single time, a guy will make a putt and they'll go, oh, I hit it like a girl, or oh, I use my purse, or hit it, Sally. And then they look at me and they apologize. So it's fine for them to make all of, you know, say stuff like that, that they're such a girl that can't even get to a hole while I'm making putts and I'm a girl. And it's just like, but me calling them a bitch, it just blew their mind. That's why I hate golf sometimes, because people got so heated about this, and I said it jokingly. Now I'm not saying it jokingly anymore, not at all.
It kind of reminds me of being back at the cafeteria where you didn't want to be the quote unquote nerd for grabbing the tray to put all your food on, but yet you think it's cooler to like hold everything and like drop your milk or your drink just so you don't have to grab the tray. But the person that grabs a tray is actually 10 times smarter than you, but yet you just don't want to look like a bitch and grab the tray.
Exactly. I'm not saying I'm smarter. You are smarter for using the push cart. And I said that on the last episode too, when it's pouring rain and you're dry and I'm soaking wet, I look like the idiot. So, but I still think you're a bitch for using a push cart. Like, it's just how it is. And like, guys on tour who don't carry their bags, they should carry their bags. Like, how interesting would that be if they actually had to carry their own bags?
Well, I'll tell you, there is like a push cart mafia at my men's club at the public course. And everyone, you know, when they get their new ones, they love to talk. Guys love to talk about anything they have new. Yeah, no, I got the 3.0 because this one, the cup holder, is so much better. And look at this, I can just click on my cooler right here. And I mean, there's literally guys that have like coolers strapped to it and the music And, you know, oh, no, 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 check this out. It's four wheels. It's not three. It can, and so it stands up on rugged terrain. And, I mean, it is hysterical.
See, I love that. But do you think they're trying to make their push cart better because they're insecure about their push cart? It's like one of those things where you talk about it so much just to, like, draw attention off the fact that you have one.
Like a small penis sort of thing?
Exactly. Is that the new, is that the new lifted truck? A pimped out push cart?
It could be. It could
be. As soon as you see it, I'm not even going to finish what I was about to say because Pushcart Mafia would come at me even harder. I already called them bitches. Now I'm insinuating they have small dicks. So.
Here we go. Week two.
On that note, Josh, we must know, did you use a pushcart after your round of golf?
I did.
Give us the details so we know the size of his.
I am going to tell you, my push cart has no frills, but I played the, so we did our podcast last week and I went straight out to the golf course for my first game in whatever, 3 months, 2 months, something like that. And I used my push cart, but it was funny. So I had to go, so right as we were doing this, I had to go out of LA County to play because LA County was still shut down.
Are these more excuses? No. I feel like this is a long story of excuses. No,
the excuses are going to come at different spots.
Okay.
Okay, cool. But so I go out of LA County where, and by the way, here in LA, like, and Pro Tour, you know this, it's like masks and gloves and everyone's super 6 feet and it's like super hypervigilant, right? So I go out to this golf course out outside of LA County. I walk and it's like Rona's not even going on. Driving range is open. I walk in. Guys behind the counter, they're not even rocking masks. I mean, I got my mask on. It was just like, boom, 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 get it done. And I was like tripping out. And then so we play and it was strictly like, it was like first time out. Yes, it was my two cousins and my brother. So there was drinking and there was push carts. That's what it was. And I played pretty well. I'm not going to lie. I shot 82.
Okay. I thought you were going to come out here and be like, yeah, I shot even par and I'm glad you're honest. I believe 82.
Well, I had two birdies and had five doubles.
Did it come from the driver? Or did it come from your terrible short game?
Terrible short game.
I knew it. That double chip. So I have a question for you, though. When, yeah. Okay, so you are on one side of the green, and you chip it to the other side, and you have to re-chip it. What do you do with your push cart? Do you have to go all the way around the green? Because if I was carrying, I could just carry straight across, but now you have to go all the way around.
I think it adds to the frustration, for sure. Pushing that damn cart around the green. Everyone's waiting for you. You're pushing, you're wheeling, your rims. I mean, I think you're right. I think it was part of it. So I got to say, and you know this, PG, because I was like, dude, you need to give me a chipping lesson, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, I couldn't – it was so fun to play golf. It was – so much fun, and I was with my family, and we were drinking, so it was more of a celebratory thing, and that's not an excuse, because it was a great time, but I need to play again, so I played the next day, because LA County opened up their golf courses, and now this is no joke, like, compared to, I played Friday, then I played Saturday, it is, you can't go into anywhere, you have to sit, like, 6 feet apart in, like, a holding pen till they call your name, so you can come in one by one to pay, to get out another exit, playing with mask on the whole time, got to do everything. Like, it was super, super restrictive, and it was really weird. And it's funny because, and that day, I shot 87.
Is it hard to play with a mask on?
Yes.
Yeah, especially, I feel like it would be hard.
Especially when you're breathing your own coffee breath.
Yeah,
and look, I would have definitely taken it off during between tee to green, but we were playing with a buddy of mine who's got a 2.5 week old, so, and he was kind of vigilant, so we were like, all right, we'll keep him on. It was rough. I'll never want to do it again. But
will they did they let you have carts, or did you have to walk?
No, they opened up the carts, and it was one per. But cart, I got a dope push cart, so what do I need a cart for?
Very true. See, again, you got me on that team push cart. Josh, how's it feel to be the leader of team push carts? Like, you actually have people on your side now. Like, they're rooting for you. They're cheering you on.
I'm just not sure how I feel about it.
I'm the villain in this situation.
I like that.
You're loving this. He's just laughing right now and smiling.
Wait, okay, so I got to go to the last thing that you're going to love. So the second day, it's the day that the golf course is open, right? So all the news outlets are at the golf course. And so they're doing all this stuff, but we're just playing, right? And so we go out and I tee off. And they're shooting B-roll for the article, the packet. And it's me that makes it on the newscast, the CNN newscast. And I'm telling you, that drive, I pushed it out of bounds. I made a 9 on the first hole.
Of course you did.
Yeah, yeah. It was, but I looked that night. I looked. Someone was like, "Dude, you're on CNN. Check this out." And I look at it, and I was like, "That is the grossest swing I've ever seen." Right? It was super fast, totally unbalanced.
Was it worse than your pair of shorts? Were you wearing an ugly pair of shorts?
Ooh, I think you got some heat for the shorts too, PG. People love the shorts.
Well, there's no way.
You didn't know. You showed it from the front. You didn't show the pockets. The pockets are what...
If people agree that that was good taste, then they have bad taste.
Thank you. Tori, what... Okay, I have to know. Tori, what do you think about push carts? You've heard both sides.
You know, I think there's nothing sexier than a practical man. So I think I'm pro push carts.
I won one. I won one.
I'm speechless. I can't talk right now.
And that is our podcast.
I'll probably retract it in like the next 10 minutes. Don't worry. Don't get too hung up on it.
I'm just going to keep staring at you until you change your mind. You know what? I think I know what it is. You want people to like you, so you send your team push cards because you saw how much hate I got.
Yeah, I just want to be out there for all the bitches. Those bitch of a men come my way. But I will say, I feel like it's kind of like a handyman in your house. You're like, there's nothing sexier than a man and a hammer because it's like you can do a lot. There might be nothing sexier than a man with a push cart.
Dude, Pro Tour, those are the two things I do. Those are the two things I do.
But Tori, you've never actually seen a guy push a push cart, though.
Ooh, let me YouTube it, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. Because that might change your mind quite a bit, seeing someone carry their bag and then seeing a guy push their push cart.
Currently looking.
Pro Tour loves me. Pro Tour loves me.
I'm so offended right now.
Wait,
the podcast just like ends here. Like, we're done.
Pro Tour doesn't come back for the next episode.
Josh, Pro Tour out. It's just me talking about push carts.
Wait, I will say I'm looking at YouTubing and it says that there's push cart racing. So that's a thing.
It's a thing?
PG, I'm serious. You got to get with one of your sponsors and get a bitch cart. You just got to do it. You got to do it.
Well, if there's any push cart companies who want to sponsor me, you let me know.
There you go.
I'm sure they really want my endorsement on it.
No, it's like it's working. It's working. It's the like the anti-advertisement.
Again, it makes sense. It makes sense, but I said what I said, and I'm not going to retract it. This is going to be the hill I die on. I don't care what anyone says.
I love it.
All right. I'm currently playing the first annual push cart race at Broadmoor Golf Course.
Is it on the ESPN Ocho?
You know what? This thing actually has almost 2,000 views. So, I mean, they're laughing their way to the bank, I guess.
You said it was at Broadmoor?
Yes, the Broadmoor Golf Course.
Where's Oh,
that that it's in Colorado. It's in Colorado Springs. It's one of the most beautiful golf courses. There's two of them, but they're super hilly and you're at pretty high altitude, so you can't breathe. So the fact that these guys are doing that there, athletes. Athletes. What else can you say?
So it's kind of like the, it's kind of like the remember at the Waste Management when all the caddies used to race? Do they still do
Yeah. that? I think they banned it because it was getting too intense.
Was it?
Yeah. And caddies were like falling and, but you know what? They were caring. Maybe if they had push carts, what if they had push carts on the PGA Tour? Oh, I have a good question. If tour players had to carry, who would use a push cart and who would carry? Can you imagine Tiger Woods with a push cart?
I'm going to give you a bunch of names and you tell me carry or push.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's start with Brooks Koepka.
Carry. No way Brooks would use a push cart.
Justin Thomas.
Push cart.
Bryson.
Carry. Oh, actually, he would probably use a push cart because of the science behind it, and he'd be more rested using a push cart, so he'd use a push cart. But not because I think he's a bitch, but just because I think logically it makes more sense to use a push cart. So, Bryson.
Freddie Couples.
He would have someone just carry him. Like, he would find a way to lay on his push cart and just ride down the hill the coolest way possible. He, honestly, if he carries or pushes, he's cool no matter what.
Exactly. That was the tricky one. Nice. Nice handle. Okay. Kevin Na.
Probably push cart.
Who do you think immediately, besides Brooks, because I'm totally with you on that, who do you think besides Brooks and probably Tiger would carry?
DJ would probably carry.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think he would carry. I think maybe more of, like, the old school guys would probably carry. I think Phil, I can see Phil carrying. Because they grew up carrying their bag, so they didn't even, like, have the option. But I think the younger players, and I'm not saying this that they are, they're bitches, but it's just you. They grew up with having a push cart, and so you see all the guys in junior golf and college golf, they're all using push carts now, so it's just something that they're used to. And so I think all the old school type of guys would carry, and then younger players would probably use a push cart.
Do you think in all of your time before and during this podcast you thought you would spend 20 minutes talking about a push cart?
Definitely, 100%. At some point, this is going to come up. Anyone who knows me knows that I am anti-push cart. I've always been that way. Okay, so Tori is now showing us a video of the push cart races.
It's not the race. It's just a guy pushing a cart.
Oh, my God.
I found just a normal human being pushing a cart. And you know what? It kind of gives me, like, some daddy vibes.
Okay, so like he's pushing a stroller.
So if you saw like kind of a fit guy kind of pushing a baby like stroller, you're kind of like, that's hot. I see a little daddy vibe. I'm still maybe pro it. I mean, it is a little dorky, I'm not gonna lie, but I think it's like the hot dad vibes.
Pro Tour is pro Josh right now.
I never thought I would see the day.
I know, it's the best day. It's my best day.
Oh, gosh. I feel like this push cart discussion will live on forever. We will probably talk about this again and again. And seriously, guys, this is all in good fun. I really want you to keep that in mind. I don't want to. It's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, Playing Around isn't like a serious golf podcast. No, it's not a serious golf podcast. Like, we're having a really good time. Like, if you want to go listen to a boring golf podcast, there's plenty of them out there. We're going to discuss push carts and pull carts and walking and carrying. And it is what it is. Have a good time. Laugh it off. And you push your cart. You do you. I'm all about it. I don't agree with it, but I support you.
Hey guys, speaking of daddies.
Daddies!
I'm writing down speaking of daddies as the best segue ever.
big news.
Yes, Tori.
Paige, take it away.
Golf is back. We're going to talk about it. Not about daddies. I don't know where Tori's mind is, but we're going to talk about golf on the next segment. So I'm keep on listening.
Is Tori pregnant?
Daddies! Tori, you ready to talk about some daddies?
So many daddies today.
So many daddies. Live golf happened, and it was... There's a lot that we need to get into and discuss. I want to start off with the positives because I think in golf we tend to jump right into all the negatives and things that was wrong with what happened with the match. So let's just start off with the positives, things that we liked. I loved one. Well, I first want to say there were no bitches playing. They were all carrying their bags.
No daddies.
No daddies for Tori, but they were all caring. And I think one of the highlights was on the first hole, DJ goes to pick up his bag, and he picks it up backwards. So the he couldn't even carry it the right way. And right before that, the commentator's like, oh, yeah, DJ doesn't remember the last time he's carried his bag. No shit. Like, he literally picked it up backwards, and there was a couple other times, too, where he would tee off and just start walking and just forget his bag. Like, he didn't even remember that he was carrying. I love that, but I thought DJ was just an entire mood. He was playing so fast. He was marking balls with tees. He didn't even know how to carry his bag, and I felt like he was us playing. Like, if we were ever watching ourselves play, it was DJ in that moment, which I thought was pretty cool. I love that in the beginning, it seemed like the shit talking was really going. They were having fun with it. I thought Rory was doing a really good job, just kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit. I liked that they had Matt Wolf in there as a younger player. I think it was not the obvious choice to go with him, and I think to boost up the younger players, you need to put them in the spotlight more. And even though he seemed a bit nervous and just kind of like happy to be there, I still think it was the right move to have a younger player be represented. So I thought that was a positive.
You're such reaching. I can't wait because I'm with you. I mean, we are grasping at straws for the positives of that shit show. I want to piggyback something that you said. Number one, I agree. Rory was certainly trying, and he's just a nice guy, and he was trying. I think the winner was Matt Wolf by far. Look, the mustache, the shoes,
yeah,
the long drive. The kid comes in and wins both long drives, 2.358 or something like some ungodly number like that. Matt Wolf, I think this should be this is Matt Wolf's coming out party for sure. I think the rest of it, I'll let you go, but they stepped on Bill Murray, for God's sakes. I am so upset.
Well, I felt like the commentating was just horrible. And
it was horrible.
I had a couple takes on Twitter, and one thing I said was this was a moment to... It was cool that they were caring. They were kind of... They had these young, cool players. You know, like Matt Wolf was... Like you said, it was like his coming out party. Why didn't they give the same opportunity to up-and-coming, new, fresh voices in golf? I think this would have been a perfect social media play where you have new people out there, especially since you didn't need anyone physically there. No one needed to be there except for the camera crew and the people, the players. So why didn't you have people coming in and doing things on Twitter or Twitch or any social media platform that you could think of and showcase that? It was a normal golf event as like any other tournament, and I think that was such a miss. They could have done so much more with it. And the same thing, I'm so sorry. I know Bill Murray is a legend, and I respect him, but stop having him in this golf role. Like, he is the one person that people always seem to go to when it's, you know, they think that he's still like young, hip, and cool. He's not. No one of my generation cares about Bill Murray anymore.
Okay. All right. Oh.
In the sense that we want to hear him over someone else. And he did horrible. He didn't even know how to set up his... He said it was the first time doing Skype. The camera was crooked. It just was such a mess. And there was such an opportunity to bring someone else in there instead of just the same old, typical... It was predictable. It was predictable. Okay. You knew you were going to see Bill Murray.
Wait a sec. Okay, time out. There is a bit of truth that if you're going to grow the game, bring the younger. I agree. I also agree. forget the announcers. Don't even have them. Why don't did you see the caddy that was pulling the pin the whole time? The 90-year-old USGA in khakis? Why isn't that David Faraday? Or why isn't that someone even younger than David
Faraday?
That's
the thing, but you're still thinking of like the typical golf people that you always go to, and I think it's very evident now, especially because they're doing all of these throwback tournaments, and it's the same crew. Same people for years and years and years. It's like, get someone new in there. Someone new. And I'm not, and it's not like, oh, get me in there. I think I'd do a great job. I know that it's a very difficult skill to be able to commentate correctly and do a good job. And I respect people who do that, but there's so many people who are able to do that. Get some diversity there in there. Get someone who's younger. Do something different than the same old that's been done year after year after year.
Okay, all right. I'm going to look, like, you took it a step further than me, and I have to look at my age and go, okay, maybe listen to PG a little bit, because I did. You're right. I dropped David Faraday in, and he's NBC, and that was the automatic for me. I thought they did, like, I thought they completely whiffed this opportunity. And I think you're right. I think it's, look, TV, here's the thing. I know TV. I've done TV for 20 years. I've done live TV. I've done outdoor. I've done building. Like, I know sounds and all of that stuff. They flopped it all. The whole thing was just completely amiss.
You couldn't even hear the players talking at all. You'd get just half of what they were saying, and you were just missing the entire thing. And then the commentators had to come back in and be like, oh, DJ just said this. I'm like, I wanted to hear DJ say that. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you were too busy telling us how this Seminole is like the Augusta of Florida. Who gives a shit? Like, it's the course. Like, what did you think of the course?
So I've heard about Seminole a lot. And I've never actually seen pictures of it. I've never seen it on TV. This was my very first time. And if you gave me 100 guesses to talk about the layout and what it would look like, I would have never guessed that Seminole looked like that. I think that's a course that is special when you play it, but it doesn't look great on TV. And again, that's a huge miss. I think you needed something that looked a little bit more spectacular. And it's not a diss on the course, but again, some things look better on TV and some things don't. And it just looked bland. Boring. The course looked boring.
It looked like a public course in Monterey.
Yeah.
It looked like Pacific, like it reminded me of like was that Pacific Grove? Like, what is that? That is, and I know, look, we are definitely stepping on the richest, whitest people in America by saying this, because that course is, you know, Bobby Jones, all the Donald Ross, all of that stuff. I get it. But if you've got the first sporting event of the year, you're going to put that golf course with those commentators to try and you could have gotten 100,000 to 1 million new golfers if you did this right.
Yeah.
And all you did is you went deeper into tradition and the esoteric things that golf keep people out of golf. It was like the president of Seminole. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, and I've never wanted to talk about politics, and this is not a political statement that I'm making, but I just didn't think it was the right time to have the president on the live feed. I personally just thought that the reason we want sports to get back is so we're not thinking about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. So let's bring on someone who's going to then talk about all the terrible things in the world. And there's a time and a place for that, and you go to a news station for that if you want to hear that. I get it, and it's not, this has nothing to do with political beliefs or disliking someone or liking someone. It could have been any past or present president. I just thought it was the wrong time to bring that on, and it was a miss for me.
I'm so glad. I wasn't going to say anything. I have written something that I wanted to say, and I'm not going to say it, but I'm so glad you brought it up, because we are doing this to break the monotony of what's going on. This is the first thing. Let's go out, have fun. Let's fight it. We just stepped right back onto the news for that, whatever, 8 minutes. And I almost turned the effing TV off.
And it went on for such a long time too. And I get if he was on for a second and it was just kind of like a feel good, we're happy that sports are back and we're moving in the right direction. But it went on for such a long time and they weren't even showing play. It was just, you know, overviews of this shitty golf course. And it was just like, I watched maybe the first hour or so of it. Then I took a shower and then I fell asleep. I took a nap and I woke up on 18. It was just the same old shit over and over and over again. And that's like my go-to. Whenever golf is on, I always end up falling asleep because the commentators are so boring. I can't even differentiate like who's talking or what's going on. They're just all these old white guys.
You missed nothing except, like I said, Matt Wolf, this was his coming out party. Ricky Fowler made a lot of birdies, which I really like because I like him. And I liked his tie-dye. What do you think of his tie-dye?
Awesome. I think, again, they had all of the right people there. It should have been a massive success, and I think it was a bad look on golf again. It was boring. It went on way too long. I think they should have cut it down quite a bit as well. I don't think it had to be the entire round of golf either.
All right, so I'm going to get to you. Now, there's another thing that absolutely drives me bananas about this.
Yeah.
And it happened in the match, too. Like, what are you going to do at 18 when all the drama, there should be fireworks. This is going to be fun. And it wasn't fun. It was boring and people missed putts and no one was a clear winner, right? And then they do the stupid closest to the hole, right? And so I started thinking about it and I want to break it to both of you guys. Let's just say match two, because that's coming up. And I tweeted, I was like, I hope the match two learns something from the TaylorMade driving relief. Because it's a relief, it's over. So I want to say, if there's a tie on 18, what would be another way to break the tie?
You know, I thought one of the most exciting things of that match was the playoff where they had to hit it closest to the pin, just because of the way that it did work out with Rory being the closest and then they ended up winning the whole thing. It's hard with golf because you can't... Those guys were so done. They didn't even really want to be there, you could tell. And you could play another hole. There's really not a lot of things that you can do with golf. You could do what they did in the match where they were doing, you know, like the closest to the pin the first year with Tiger and Phil. I honestly don't really have a good opinion on what I think would be better. I haven't really put too much thought into it.
I have an idea. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Okay, look, this thing's straight up... for charity, right? No one's getting any points. No one's getting any money.
They get in a fist fight.
Just for fun.
They fight till the death. I would watch that.
How about a sprint from the 18th green back to the 18th tee?
With a push cart.
The winner wins, breaks the tie.
That would actually be really funny. Start doing like fitness challenges to see who's the fittest athlete or the fittest golfer.
Straight
something
up
different. That actually would be pretty funny.
And they could bump each other and they could do whatever. And because who cares, right? They played the 18 holes. Who cares? Okay, line them all up. Okay, last putt. Okay, that's a tie. All you guys line up by the pin.
Go.
Go. Who gets to 18th tee first wins.
That's actually a pretty good idea. You know, and I was thinking back at the match, and I think a lot of people have the same views as we do, is that it wasn't successful and it could have been a lot better. But then they raised over $5.5 million.
Yeah, and they were going to do it anyway. They were going to do it anyway.
But, it's hard, and this is what I think goes back to the main problem with golf, is that there's so many powerful people behind it, and it's going to be successful no matter what. And so even though... we personally, as viewers, didn't see it as a success. It raised a lot of money, and it turned out to be a success in that way. And so that's why changes are never made, because it's still successful. And so I think they're so scared to kind of mix it up or do something different, because if they stick to the same formula and they, you know, I'll insert this player, I'll insert these commentators, this course is going to work, then I'm going to get X amount of viewers and we're going to raise X amount of money. And they're so scared of thinking, okay, what if we change someone else out and put a different commentator in? Are we then going to lose viewers? Or are we going to, they don't see it as a positive. And I think that's been just the whole problem behind golf, is that it's not, nothing has ever failed enough to to then finally make a change because of all of the power that's behind it, it's always going to be successful and you're going to continue to do the same thing over and over again because you're scared of change.
So look, I know that TaylorMade had set up a donation. State Farm was in for it. We were already looking at $4 million for sure. And then they had lined up those other sponsors to kick in after. So yes, you're right. We had the power of the wallet there behind you. But what if Ricky Fowler goes to the camera on number 14 and goes, all right, everybody, because they've teamed up with GoFundMe too. What if Ricky Fowler goes to the camera and goes, look, man, if I make this putt to Dustin Johnson, you guys, do you promise to bet to pledge $5? Tell me now. Tweet me now. $5. Okay. I've got $1,500 riding on this putt that's going to go straight to the, all right, let's go. And he starts talking to the camera, starts talking to the people. Then we start talking about a little bit more interactive. You think 5 million's big? I mean, that would just jump. The money that was donated, almost, I'd say 90% of it was pre-committed.
Well, and I agree with that, but then as an outside viewer, no one else knows that, so looking in, it's still a success, but they don't know how much more money they could be raising if you do what you were saying and mixing it up and doing all these different things. And I felt like the players could have been more excited as well. I feel like the trash talking that they were doing was very typical, normal things that anyone would say, and sometimes it would come off just a little bit cheesy. And we need that unfiltered, like The Last Dance, where they're dropping F-bombs and they're talking about the drama. It's just golf is packaged in this perfect little box, and that's all it's ever going to be, and they're so scared of doing anything different. And what I don't understand is, I saw it all day on Twitter today. We're sitting down right here and we're spitballing these really awesome, great ideas. How are these people, the most powerful executives in the world with access to whatever they want, and they sit down in a room and that's the best they come up with? That to me is the most mind-blowing part of all of this. Yeah. Why aren't they coming up with better ideas? We're just two normal golfers, and same thing on Twitter. I saw so many great ideas, and are they... I can't figure it out. Like, there's so many smart people in this world. Why was it just that? It was right. So boring, and it almost makes me not excited for the Tiger Phil match because it's going to be the same shit all over again. It's going to be that cheesy trash talk. It's unless they learn, unless they see what the reaction was. But at the same time, they saw the reaction off of the Tiger Phil match the first time. And it wasn't, and I don't know if it was different because that was pay-per-view and this was network TV and you have to, again, follow all of these rules, and there's so much more that goes into it than I'm sure we even know. But again, it's, I just don't, I don't think it's going to be anything all that special. I'm still going to watch, so I can complain about it, but I think it's going to be the same thing.
PG, I don't think it's going to be the same thing. I do think anything measured is improved. And I do think that they're going to look at the metrics of this, and they're going to look at the response of this. And the fact is, like, TaylorMade jumped in front of the match, right? The match was supposed to be the big first thing. I think they allowed it. They watched it. They watched it a lot. And we are also talking about, again, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are going to be bringing in two different influences. I think it's going to be a little bit more, hopefully, a little bit more irreverent, a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more fun. I hope we don't hear from the President of the United States on this one.
Or Bill Murray.
That I'm going to just have to think on that one, right? But if
you're like the biggest Bill Murray guy, though, I think his time is coming. And again, there's always a place for Bill Murray. That wasn't it. And again, just wasn't the right time. He didn't seem into it. Take that hat off. He's wearing a Bill Murray golf hat right now.
He was trying. No, but if you listen now, look, and PG, I understand, but you got to understand entertainment. Bill Murray was actually trying to talk to Mike Tirico in entertainment, and Tirico was being this perfectly elevated TV announcer, and I was like, but Murray's trying to fuck around a little bit, and it was a mess. Okay, I'm not gonna defend Bill Murray. I have another question for you.
Okay.
because this whole thing seems so interlocked in what you've always preached is the problem about golf. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you accept an invitation to play golf with Donald Trump?
I'm not answering that.
Great.
Yeah, okay. I'm not answering that. I feel like politics and there's hot button questions and topics that I have always tried to avoid. I feel if you can get your message across and you can be a good person and you can support what you want to support, but people just take things to a whole different level. And in my personal opinion, I don't think it's an athlete or an entertainer's responsibility or any public figure to talk about politics. I think that is actually the most irresponsible thing you can possibly do. You need to listen to people who are experts in the field that they have gone to school for, that they're educated on. Just because I have, you know, millions of followers on Instagram doesn't mean that my opinion holds more weight than someone who actually is educated in politics. I don't feel confident enough to debate with someone else. If I did and I went to school for it and I felt like I could debate anyone on any of the topics, then I would confidently talk about that. But I can't. And that's with everything. I feel like when we force entertainers or athletes to talk about politics, it does more harm than good. And I feel like if we take all of those opinions out, then everyone would be a lot happier. Just your opinion doesn't mean more than someone else's. And it's not that I don't want to get involved because I don't want hate from either side. I feel like it's irresponsible for me to push out an agenda or my ideas on something because they're just my ideas. I think people should make their own opinions and their own judgments, and that should be something that's personal and private to yourself and not something that you need to scream from the top of the windows. And I don't think that makes me a bad person for not wanting to publicly talk about it. And I don't think we need to pressure athletes for wanting to talk about it. In The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, when he made that comment, you know, Republicans buy shoes too, and he got blasted for it, that made me feel so bad because you can be a role model for other people, but that doesn't mean that you have to speak on things that you don't feel comfortable to speak about. And I feel like him being an amazing athlete and being successful does more for his community and for leading an example than talking about politics. And you can't force someone to talk about something they don't want to talk about it.
I agree, and we don't talk politics, and I totally value that whole stance. But my question was, would you accept an invitation to play golf with us?
And again, that's a political question, and I will not answer that. there's really just like there's no good or bad. It's all bad that's going to come from it. And again, yeah. I think that's just a personal thing that I don't feel comfortable disclosing, and I don't think anyone. If you want to talk about it, great, then you can talk about it. But I don't think you should force people or pressure people into talking about anything that they don't want to talk about. But I do think it's important that we have addressed that on the podcast, because that's something that is really important to me, is not talking about topics that I don't feel comfortable talking about. And I think, it's very irresponsible for people to think that their opinion means so much that they're going to influence all of these millions of people. And I don't like it. I don't like when athletes or entertainers talk about politics when they kind of like force you, they make you feel like bad about it. Like there's nothing worse than having a gazillionaire just win an Oscar and tell you you're a horrible person for not recycling while they're flying private jets. Like I don't need to hear that. I'm really happy you're using that platform, but I think, and this goes for a lot of people who comment back on me and saying, I don't talk about all the good things I do. I feel like you shouldn't talk about it. You should do it. And if you're a good person and you live by example, then that is the most powerful thing you can do. It's the person you are when no one is looking. And so when people go and they use this public platform to talk about certain things, I don't think that it's almost kind of like, look at me, I'm such a good person. I'm leading by example, instead of actually leading that life and being a good person when no one else is looking. That's my rant on it.
Okay.
Well, Josh, hold on. You're not an athlete, so you can answer this question. Would you accept an invitation to play golf with Donald Trump.
I would not.
You know, and it's such a hard question too. And I feel like so many people get so upset about it. And I've always thought that you can't change something by avoiding it. So if you have an opposing view, what's the best way to get your point across or to talk about it is to go and talk to someone that you disagree with. And so for everyone to say like, oh, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that, I think it's actually better to go and talk to someone who has the power. And if you do have opposing opinions, that would be your time to make a difference, to take a stand and to speak up and to make change. But who knows? I'll never get that invite. So it's a non-issue.
You're going to get the invite closer than me. But the reason I won't is not political.
Why wouldn't you?
Because there, I don't know if you know the story, but you know, the really funny thing, I was very interested in the Mike Tirico, Donald Trump interview that was going on.
Yeah.
Because there is in Rick Riley's book, I think it's Rick Riley, Mike Tirico was playing golf with Donald Trump, and Mike Tirico hit it on the green in two, and he goes up to the green, and it's not there. It's in the bunker. Tough break, Mike, says Donald. And then the caddy tells him later that Donald kicked the ball into the trap. So that's why I'm not playing. That's not what,
because
that's
you,
why I'm not playing.
Your score would just skyrocket because you never hit greens around him.
Exactly. I'd shoot a thousand.
Well, getting back to the match, I thought another thing that could have been really cool is if they actually had music on the golf course. If they incorporated some kind of... What do you think about that, Josh?
Okay. I do have something that I really want to ask you. So you know, did you notice the guy in the khakis that was pulling the pin all day, right?
It looked like he was about to die. He was so old.
Totally. So my question, and then let's ask Pro Tour, who would be, let's say we that guy gets a mic and he gets to talk because he's with these guys all day. Who's that person, younger generation, like you were saying, not Bill Murray, like you don't want, not David Faraday because he's too old too. Who's that guy that that walks with the players the whole 4 hours and talks to them and incites banter?
I think it would be cool to have someone like a Joe Rogan walking with them. Yeah, I think he would be good. The part
Joe
of
Rogan's
my take, guys.
Old.
I feel like he has like a younger audience though. Like he has such a wide audience and he's done so many things that he would, you still have to get someone who knows what they're doing. Like it's not an easy job and he does that with the UFC and I think he does a really great job. I think he would be great. There's a lot of, I mean, like the No Laying Up guys, part of my take, you could get a ton of the Barstool personalities. I honestly think I would do a really good job at doing that. There's lists and lists of people who are capable of doing this job, but they, again, still go with the same five guys. You could pick anyone, and I think they would have been a better choice than the same people they always use.
Okay, Pro Tour, what do you think? Like, I know you didn't watch it. Don't even say you did, because we know you didn't. But there's this one person that's with all four golfers the whole time, pulls the pin out at every green, is with them at every tee box. Is if they had a mic and could talk to them and killed all the announcers, what kind of a personality, who at the top of your mind would you say could be that person?
I want it to be like the bat boys in baseball who are like 7-year-olds being like, I'm hungry, or like, it's hot out, or like, oh my gosh, it's Tiger Woods. Like, what's your favorite ice cream? And just have them be mic'd up the whole time. Like a kid in the middle, like living his dream watching golfers, but also like in the burning heat who gets hungry. I would listen to that commentary for hours.
That's the best idea of this entire segment. That honestly would be so great. And have a different kid at each hole. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
I love
God.
That. I think that would have been so good. See, another missed opportunity.
PG, I do think that, like, and I don't necessarily really like you that much, but I think you would have been a great ad to be the one that pulls the pin and talks. Because, look, if you've got a 270-yard let's say it's a 220-yard shot that you've got to start under and go over with a butter cut, you would understand that shot as well. So I do think that the person needs to know a little bit about golf. So I think you would have been actually up there, in my opinion.
Thanks.
And you're fun to look at. And you're fun to look at.
Yeah, I was also thinking, for like, sure, the girls who could get the pins, like the UFC, where they hold up the numbers and walk around, and they, like, hold the pin, and they, like, prance around with the flagstick, or, like, the...
We'll get sparklers shooting up top.
Or, like, in those, you know, the old car racing movies where the girls stand there and they go, like, go! It'd be, like, me
start
using
the
pin. Yeah, like, put it out!
Hey, why not?
Rips the scarf off the neck.
Why not? Yes. Shasha Di Gregorio.
So we never know. So keep on listening, because I think we have another fun segment coming up after this. The best drinks to have on the golf course. We're drinking it. It might be coffee for you, maybe a good Arnold Palmer. Maybe you have a really good mixed drink, but we're talking all things drinks today. You know, I'm not a big drinker on the golf course. Never have been, never really have done it, but I feel like it's a big thing, apparently. Everyone drinks on the golf course. Who knew?
Yeah, it's like you're a nun talking about sex.
Right now.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I know people drink, but like I didn't know there were like certain drinks of choice that people go to on the golf course. I know like Riggs from Foreplay always talks about the transfusion, but I didn't know there were like really great ones. Or obviously you have like the Arnold Palmer, which, how cool would it be to have a drink named after you?
That would be very cool. The PG. What would be in the PG?
So I had a go-to drink back in my college days, and it was pretty amazing. It was apple juice and Fireball. It tastes like...
It's like an apple pie.
Yeah, it tastes like apple cider. It was the best thing ever, and that was my go-to. I would have that all the time, and then anything mixed with, like, Malibu. I thought it was just, like, the best thing ever. It smelled a little like sunscreen, but you
totally
get over
is.
That real fast.
It totally does. Wait, okay, back to the Fireball and apple juice. Did you drink it on ice? Was it a shot? Was it, what? How did you drink it?
You know, I was usually pretty blacked out, so it was just kind of like a swig of Fireball and a swig of apple juice, and you kind of just hold it in your mouth and shake your head around, and then you swallow it. That's usually how I would do it. We were so poor, we couldn't even afford ice. We couldn't even pay for ice or like a good glass, you know? We were poor college students, so we just had to just create mixed drinks in our mouth, just shake it about and you're good to go.
There's so much there.
We were feeling like classy. You know, that was the classy way to go. Really, it was anything in a plastic bottle. That was kind of it. We didn't even know what kind of alcohol. It could have been rubbing alcohol for all we know. It was probably like one time we ran out of alcohol, and so people were taking shots of mouthwash because there was a little bit of alcohol in it.
Oh my God. That is 19 year old. That's 19 right there. That is 19. I love that you felt classy when you took Fireball and apple juice from two different bottles without a cup or ice. That was your classy moment.
Yeah. College was my glory days. I thrived in college.
Oh, my God.
Tori, I need to know what your drink of choice is.
Oh, espresso martini.
Ah.
Those are deadly.
They are.
Do you use the, like, cacao mix for the martini? Or do you actually put more of just straight-up espresso in?
Oh, I don't make my drinks. I don't know how to make it.
That a girl.
I just spend that $20 at the restaurants in L.A., and they give me what I want. If I make my own drinks, I make everybody's with too much alcohol always, and then I just never know what I'm really doing. Bartender tour is not a thing.
No, it's weird when people are like, oh, I only have one drink and that's my drink. Because in college, I would just drink everything. Like, there was no, like, tonight I'm only having, like, a vodka crayon or, you know, I never did that. It was just kind of like, it looks like liquid. I'm going to drink it. There's a reason why I don't drink on the golf course is because I have a problem with alcohol. I'm either sober or blacked out. There's no in between for me. So I just choose now to not drink because obviously I couldn't control my alcohol consumption.
Yeah, the alternative is no good, no bueno.
Well, I mean, it depends how you look at it, but...
Well, long term.
Long term. For my dignity.
Yes. With golf and drinks, it's been my experience, and maybe you could say this too, PG, is that golf courses have signature, like, food and signature drinks that people tend to gravitate towards. Have you realized that?
Yeah, like a good hot dog and a beer is definitely like a good golf course.
Yeah, or like Bloody Marys are really strong at some golf courses, where other golf courses it's more like screwdrivers and greyhounds. And at other ones, it's like a more of
likes Bloody Marys? People who use push carts. Bloody Marys are so gross.
Here we go.
Vodka and tomato juice? Like, who decided? They must have been so drunk to think that was good. Like, why? How did that become a thing? Those are like the two worst things that you could possibly put together.
Oh my God, you're going over the edge again. Bloody Marys are amazing.
I don't like them.
Why not? You drank mouthwash.
Again, we're acting like my opinions hold any merit, okay? Or that I speak with any type of logic. I don't. I just like what I like and I don't like what I like. But who would ever just go and sit down and be like, you know what sounds really delicious today? Tomato juice. I'm going to drink some tomato juice. And you know what? Let's put some vodka in it. Like, that's not, why would someone ever decide to do that? Like, orange juice is delicious. Apple juice is amazing. Cranberry juice is also great. Let's mix it with that. But tomato juice? Out of all the juices, carrot juice might have been a better choice. Why tomato juice? I just want to know how that even 100%. Started.
Because that's the only way you can drink tomato juice is diluted with vodka and some Tabasco. And some celery and some olive. Yes, that's the only way you can drink tomato juice. I'm with you. But Bloody Marys are delicious in the morning.
I will say, I think that Bloody Marys are kind of the bitch drink.
Whoa! Whoa! Expand on this.
Well, that was short-lived.
Because if you think about it, it's the drink that, like, makes you, like, feel better. It's like, just... pop an Advil, drink some water, call it a day. You don't need to, like, or, like, grab a beer. Don't grab a Bloody Mary. Like, if you're going to, what's the saying? The hair off the old dog or whatever that is.
Hair of the dog.
Grab a beer. That's hotter than being like, tomato juice and vodka and stick a little bacon in it and a celery stick. It's like, ew, grab a beer, man.
Wait, I have one more question, though. So when, Tori, you're at a bar, do you judge a guy by what they order?
Good question.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, calling a Bloody Mary a bitch drink, that's pretty hardcore right there. So what is an acceptable drink for a man to order? We need to hear from you on this because I feel like you definitely have stronger feelings about alcohol than I do, because I want someone to have a frilly drink with me. Like, I'm never going to judge a guy for ordering, like, a Cosmopolitan or something that's blended, because that's, like, what I want. Like, I want to have, like, this fruity, like, frilly drink, and if they have it too, then I don't care. Like, if a guy's drinking whiskey, I almost feel like it's, like, a try-hard move. Like, no one actually really enjoys just, like, straight whiskey or, I mean, people...
Incorrect. Incorrect.
I don't get it. See, I don't get that. I don't get how people, like, can't enjoy that. Like, if I'm going to, like, enjoy something, aren't you going to have, like, ice cream or, like, a milkshake? Like, no one just goes like, you know what? I really want like a shot of whiskey, or I don't get it. So I feel like it's kind of like the try hard move. Like, you go to a bar and you order just like what you think people are going to think is appropriate for your gender. Like, it order what you want. I don't feel like a lot of guys order what they want. They order what they think they should order.
A guy orders a glass of rosé and she's like, oh, hey there, sexy.
So rosé is off the table for Tori. Do not order rosé.
Dude, if I went to a bar and they said all they have is daiquiris, I would not drink. I would leave.
Seriously?
Seriously. They're so, it's like candy.
Exactly. So Tori, what are the sexy drinks then? Because I know nothing. You know, and then this goes back to people thinking that I have good opinions. I'm telling you that a push cart makes you a bitch, but then you can order like a pina colada. So I don't know. Don't listen to me.
Once again, I think that Paige, you have actually circled the truth, though. Because you do, there is some, look, I actually do love, I love scotch over whiskey, but I love, and there's bourbons and there's all these things. Let me just tell you though, I think you're right. Some people do order it as like a really cool push cart. Like, oh, have you tried the 18 year single malt? And oh, well, that's nothing compared to the 25 year Macallan. Oh, you guys don't even know. Oban 14. Like, so guys kind of do that for sure. But I will tell you, with all sincerity and all honesty, I love to sip some brown because it's a harsh taste, but sometimes that's what I actually want to drink.
I'm gonna there's some whiskey behind me. I'm gonna go take a little bit of a taste of it, and I'm gonna give you my opinion on it.
Yes. Okay. Wait. And while she's gone, Pro Tour. Seriously, what's like the hottest guy drink? Like, if you were looking at a guy and it seals the deal.
So I love whiskey. So anything with whiskey, I'm here for. That's like a good brand. I'm going to get good. What do you call that brand?
Yeah.
It's a Belvedere. Double wood, aged 12 years.
What are you drinking double wood for?
I don't know. It's just here. It's for decoration.
Wait. Oh, she's using a glass. Over classy.
Is that too much? That's a lot. Okay, so we have my whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw up.
Oh my God, this would be so great.
There's no way people enjoy that. It burns. I can feel it in my toes. My body's warm.
See, that's good. Nice cold day. Nice little whiskey.
Tori, what do you like about this?
Well, you need some like ice cubes in it or some like orange bitters. It is a little hard to drink straight. You know what's funny? I actually do like whiskey and apple juice.
Well, and like,
so
I
we're
said,
kind of on that apple juice thing.
Yeah. Fireball's like the only thing that I can take like a shot of, or like really good tequila. But that is disgusting. I can still feel it, like, in my chest.
Do you know how much better the Belvedere is than Fireball as far as quality goes? Like, it is three times better than Fireball.
Again, my quality radar is completely messed up.
Wait, we got to go back. We got to go one more back to PG's question to Pro Tour. If Pro Tour, you're at a bar in LA and someone recognizes you as Pro Tour, they're going to go up to the bar and they're going to order what for you?
Oh, for me?
No. To try and court you.
To impress me. Got it. Straight beer. I love beer, so I'm totally fine with that. I think that's just like a simple drink, or anything with whiskey in it, I'm here for. Honestly, if he ordered like a Greyhound or something, I wouldn't judge him, but I'd be like, really?
Well, it's a morning drink. It's a golf morning drink. I'm not going to take issue with the nun talking about sex on this topic.
I just don't get alcohol. Like I said, I would only drink to get drunk. Like I despise the taste of it. And anytime I would go to like a bartender, I would say, just give me something that I can't taste. I just don't want to taste the alcohol, and I just don't like that, like, burning feeling. And I still feel it. My throat kind of hurts right now.
No Corona for you. That's maybe seared away.
And it's like the smell of it, too. And it might just be because I've had so many bad memories of it in college that I'm just scarred for life. Because that just reminded me of, like, taking shots of really horrible liquor and not knowing what was going to happen to me the next day. So I think I'm just emotionally scarred, and I just can't. I can't do shots. Like, I can't drink heavily anymore. It's just, everything was ruined in college. So I do not judge at all what people drink one bit. So let's get into some TNA. And I can't, I drank some liquor. I haven't done that in a long time. I can't do it anymore. I'm so grossed out right now.
All right, to close out, Paige, so you're on the golf course. You don't drink alcohol. What's the drink that is going to be in your golf cart?
My push cart? I just go with, like, something hydrating, like a Gatorade or a Powerade or water. I mean, it's usually hot when we're playing, so I don't have, like, a go-to drink of choice. But drink what you want. Do what you want.
And on that note, TNA.
Da-doom, 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 da-doom.
It's TNA with Paige.
Renee.
Oh, I went higher on that, and I like cringed for everybody.
I liked it.
I think that was my favorite one.
Yeah, I think we're learning.
Paige is drunk.
Guys, I just want to say that I like love you like so much.
All right, this one is from Ryan. Question, overlap or interlock? Any benefit to either? Also, great cans.
Well, thank you. No, there's really no benefit. They're just the two most popular ways to grip a golf club. Both highly successful professionals have done an overlap or an interlock. I just say definitely transition to either one of those two if you have like the 10-finger grip. That's pretty much the only thing, but no, there's really no benefits, just feel and what feels good to you. Josh, what do you do?
I learned on an interlock, and then I graduated to an overlap.
Same. Yeah. I used to do interlock, and now I do overlap. I felt like when I had an interlock grip, my grip tend to be a bit strong with my right hand. And so the overlap just helps me be a little bit more neutral. But again, there's really, I mean, like Tiger Woods does an interlock, so it really does not matter what you do or what you think is right. It's just whatever feels better and how you hit the ball better.
Yeah.
This is from Paul. When you play, do you listen to music? If so, what kind? I always love to have a speaker in the cart when I play. Now, golf cart or push cart?
But, you know what? You can use it on a push cart and a cart, but you can't use one when you're walking. So again, look who's smarter. I am all about having music on the golf course. I love it. I'll listen to anything. One thing is you just have to be respectful to the people around you. So make sure you have the volume on a level that usually you can just hear. And then if you're playing with people you don't know, ask them beforehand if they are comfortable with having music and what they want to listen to as well. Because I know a lot of people are not fans of music on the golf course. And I can see why. If like you do play it a bit too loud, or if they're just blasting, you know, inappropriate music, then I can see the problem there. But if you listen to it on a good level, and you're respectful to your playing partners, I could be listening to music in a group with you and you could probably not even hear it. So if you just follow those rules and you're respectful, then yeah, go for it. Listen to music. Again, I like everything. There's not one thing that I tend to listen to more than another.
Come on, give us one group, that like one album that, or one shuffle that you'd put on your golf mix.
Usually it's just like feel good music on Spotify. Anything that just kind of has like a decent beat to it and that's a little bit more mellow. I don't want anything like too hard or like EDM-y, because then you're just like, you're getting too pumped up. So anything that's more like calm, like I like Jack Johnson or anything, like he has a really good station on Pandora or Spotify. So that's usually like my go-to.
Jeff Johnson, UCSB alum.
Yeah, it is, I think just anything that's like more calm. But what's your go-to?
Oh, I actually don't like playing music when I play golf.
Of what?
No, I mean, I don't mind it. My best friend plays, and he bothers me with it, but and it's fine, and I'll listen to it, and like I'll prefer reggae or country or I don't, and I don't like country, but I don't mind country on the golf course. But like you said, mellow. I love Jack Johnson. I love all his stuff. I would listen to that. I don't mind it. But
I'm disgusted with the fact that you don't like music on the golf course.
I play with people that play it all the time, and it doesn't bother me.
But why don't you like it for yourself?
Because I don't want that. I have enough influences on the golf course. I don't need a distractor. I don't need something else. I love.
But
golf
don't you
so
think
much.
That will just like drone your negative thoughts out?
Maybe. I mean, that could be. I don't know. I don't think it enhances my play. I mean, I think maybe if I was playing.
Well, what does?
Oh God! Not alcohol, not music. I don't know. Push cards.
I don't know. I think that's. Ugh, I can't believe you don't like music on the golf course.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I don't do it. I play with people that have it all the time. It's
but
fine.
You would prefer not to have it.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like birds and like nature and wind and. I'm out there for nature. When I hike, I do a lot of hiking with my kids. I hate when people have those portable music things. It drives me nuts. It's like there's a time for everything. It doesn't always have to be. There doesn't always have to be music.
You're winning so many serious golf fans right now.
Well, I don't want to tweak it. Like I said, I don't mind.
Hey, no, and Josh. You have your stance and stick to it. No wishy-washy here. We don't do that on this podcast.
We never go back on what we say.
No. Only Tori and I are allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that.
All right. Well, given the choice, no music for me.
Okay. I could.
I would love everyone to email us their Spotify or Apple Music playlist on what they listen to on the golf course. So email us at par@iheartradio.com or DM us at Playing Around Podcast. And let's get Josh some music for the golf course.
Well, that is another episode of Playing Around. It was a wild one today. I was heated. Josh was Karen, the male version of Karen. That actually makes so much sense now that you like don't even like music on the golf course.
I kind of don't even know what Karen is, so it's cool.
Look it up. And then Tori's giving you drink advice and calling you daddy. So, you know, it was a very special episode. And again, we always appreciate you listening and having a good sense of humor and having fun. That's what we're all about here. Never take anything we say personally. As you can tell, we are messes and we don't know what we're talking about. But we just like to have a good time. So that's it for Playing Around today. And we will see you guys next week.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.